I want you to look again now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to notice verse 20 of this text. The Apostle Paul speaks about believers, about we as Christians, in terms of what kind of a vessel the Christian is in the service of God. Verse 20. He says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." In other words, in any large household, Paul says, what he calls the great house, obviously you would have what would be called different kinds of vessels, right? Not only of some, he says, silver and gold, those that you would use in public, front and center and so forth, but also of wood and clay. Some are used for noble purposes, and some obviously are used for ignoble purposes. That is, some would be to honor, and others would be to dishonor. And why is Paul saying all of this? Verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," going back to the earlier verses, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," meaning set apart, "and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." In other words, yes, it is true. In every great house, in every organization, in every business, in every group, in every church especially, you will find two kinds of vessels. You will find the china and the fine silverware, and you will find spittoons and the dog dish. Some to honor, and some to dishonor. In fact, the vessels of dishonor that Paul is referring to, he's already mentioned by name back in verse 17. Look at it. "And their word will eat as it doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred." Now I have up here this morning two vessels. One you will recognize as a trash can. And that's a trash can, a waste basket, if you will, from my own home, the downstairs guest rest bathroom. And of course, it represents a rather ignoble vessel. It holds trash. I also have up here, Brother Andy grabbed for me, another vessel, and you'll recognize this, I think, as a communion tray. And of course, this represents a noble vessel. And it is only used for honorable purposes, if you will, inasmuch as it holds the very symbol of our own Savior. In every great house, there are vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor. The question is, which do you want to be today, or which of these are you and I becoming more of today, after all? It is really a matter of being usable for the Master's work, and what work in His wisdom. You see, the first word in verse 21 is the word "if." If we want to be useful and prepared, if we want the hand of God to take our lives and perform every good work, the Scripture says, for Christ and for His kingdom, well, then let us all hear and heed what the Scripture says today, so that, as verse 21 says, we can be meet prepared for the Master's use. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful today for Your word, for Your help. We pray and ask that our hearts will be opened, that our spirit, Lord, will be open to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Give us ears to hear, and may we leave this place, Father, better believers than when we came, and may we leave this place with more love and more devotion to You than when we came as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are two things in 2 Timothy 2 that sort of stand out in the context of Paul's using the illustration of a vessel and the fact that we are called to be such. And the first rather obvious point is this admonition. The first in the admonition is that, number one, vessels are designed to hold things. And of course, I realize that that's a very simple and obvious observation, but it's also one that needs to be fully understood before moving on in the text. You see, what the apostle is saying here is that, like it or not, appreciate it or not, in fact, you are a vessel in the great work and the kingdom, and in the house of our God, there are many vessels. Not only vessels of silver and of gold, vessels of honor, but also wood and clay, vessels of dishonor. And again, the question is this: what kind of a vessel Are you in the kingdom of God? Because again, you are a vessel. You were designed by your Creator to hold something. Some years ago, you'll recall, we preached on 2 Corinthians 4:7. The Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, the treasure of the gospel is inside of every believer. In Romans 9, Paul says that God has made a Christian, quote, a vessel of mercy, prepared unto glory. In other words, as a vessel this morning, you're holding something. Now, is it a treasure? Is it mercy? Is it truth? On Wednesday nights, we've been preaching on whatsoever things are true and honest and lovely and whatsoever things have virtue. What is your vessel holding as we speak now? D.L. Moody used to say that you can always tell what a vessel holds when the vessel is holding, when the vessel is shaken up. In other words, someone cuts you off in traffic, or you get fired from your job, or you have an accident, or the stove blows up. If the vessel's shaken, then what comes inside? If there's anger and bitterness and cursing inside, that's what comes out. It's not the trial that made you do it. It's just the trial that showed what was already in you. You've probably heard about the preacher was candidating for a brand new church, and he was driving with the head deacon, part of the pulpit committee, on a country road, and suddenly a lady came around the bend, halfway around the bend and almost in his lane, and she swerved and barely missed him. And then she shouted out the window as she passed by, "Pig!" And he shouted, put his head out the window, and he shouted out, "You're a bigger pig!" And said a blankety blank. And then he looked up and he ran right into a big old pig in the middle of the road. She was only trying to warn him, so what came out was what was already in. Number one, vessels are designed to hold things, right? And you're holding something. The second thing I want you to notice is that number two, what distinguishes a vessel is what it holds. Now hear this again. What distinguishes a vessel is really what it holds. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, folks, it's not so much the vessel itself that determines whether it's noble or ignoble. It's what the vessel holds. Many years ago, I was an assistant pastor in downtown Knoxville at a church for several years. And one summer, it was my job to clean out a storage attic in the church's belfry, for lack of a better word. And I went up there, and there was all kinds of stuff, tons and tons of junk. There was stuff from the 1940s and the 50s, old pamphlets and radio programs and flyers. It's a very historic church. And I noticed in one corner there were stacks and stacks of old Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. I mean the big, heavy paper ones from the old days, right? Stacks of them. Except that on these buckets, there was printed underneath the KFC, it said, "Knoxville Citywide Crusade Evangelist J. Harold Smith." And I thought, what in the world? And then I took them all down and I started pulling them apart, and I realized what they were, because I saw in them decision slips. So they weren't really, you know, chicken buckets. These were offering plates, and decision slips and offerings to God were used at that time. Let me put it to you this way. This is a wastebasket. And I can assure you it holds waste. It holds trash. For instance, here's a little note. It says, "My suggestions for improving Pastor Blaylock's sermon from Brother Remo." Right in the trash. But it does. It holds garbage and waste and stuff that is worthless and contaminated. Stinky tofu would go in there. Amen, in my book anyway. It is a vessel of dishonor. However, suppose I went to Walmart and I bought some sort of a similar vessel, and I used it instead to hold Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, that's treasure, amen? Suppose this held gold bullion or diamonds and rubies. Suppose that it held was used to hold all of your children's and grandchildren's baby pictures. You see, folks, what distinguishes the vessel is really what it holds. If you came to the next church picnic and you're going through the line getting your food, and suddenly you come across this communion tray, and it's holding deviled eggs, okay, then you're going to say, what in the world? This is Hillbilly Baptist Church or Beverly Hillbilly Baptist Church. It wouldn't be a communion tray, is my point. Now, we asked earlier whether or not you see yourself as a vessel of honor. or dishonor in the kingdom of God? I can tell you that the answer to that question depends on what you're putting into it. It distinguishes the vessel. What distinguishes it is what it holds. And beloved, I want you to hear this very, very carefully. Because the entire point of this whole text, if you read it yourself this afternoon, and I hope that you will, is what the Apostle Paul says next. We said, number one, vessels are designed to hold things. Number two, what distinguishes the vessel is what it holds. And number three, and most importantly, what a vessel holds depends upon where it is. And let me just say, you'll notice that Paul stipulates here in the text that he's talking to those who are already believers. These are vessels who belong to Christ. You'll notice the last line of verse 19 says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ," every single one here in this room who names the name of Christ, "depart from iniquity." You know, the great house at the beginning of verse 19, that's the New Testament church. But you see people in the church, they still have to, as this verse says, depart, make decisions of where to be and where not to be. What the vessel holds depends upon where it is. Again, verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Now, folks, this is the whole purpose for Paul mentioning Hymenaeus and Philetus by name in the first place. These men were examples of vessels of dishonor. And verse 16 says what? "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker." The word canker is the Greek word for gangrene. And Paul says to shun these profane babblings, the falsehood, the ungodliness, the vanity, the dishonor. And that's not all. Verse 23. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they gender strifes." Verse 22, the very first part says, "Flee, young people, flee youthful lust." What does the Bible say about these vessels of dishonor? Well, the words are avoid, shun, purge, flee. Verse 19, "depart from." Beloved, could the Holy Spirit of God be any more clear? What a vessel holds depends upon where it is, the company that it keeps. Remember the old saying, "Never mud wrestle with a pig, you both get dirty, and the pig enjoys it"? That is never more true than when it comes to the words and doctrines and philosophies and foolishness of man's speech. Wherever the vessel goes, it eventually determines what fills the vessel up. And again, what the vessel holds ultimately determines what the vessel is, noble or ignoble. Let me ask you a question. Those of you in this room who are parents this morning, and there are many of you, you have little ones. You do realize that those little children are essentially empty vessels in that all of their memories, their life experiences, their formative influences will be determined by the places that you take them. The things that they will hear because you allow them or even cause them to hear it. You are creating their very memories. But more than that, you are helping to fill up that vessel. And of course, if they are constantly around profane and vain babblings, if they're around strife and bitterness and words that eat as a canker, if they're always around ungodliness, then that's what's filling up the vessel. I remember some time ago reading an article with Calvin Broadus. Anybody know who Calvin Broadus is? Snoop Dogg. He said he would never, in this article, he said, "I will never allow my kids," they were little at the time, "never allow my kids to go to one of my own concerts." Nobody wants your kids to go. And he wants your kids to hear his stuff. I had a pretty basic rule when my boys were young and he was popular, and that was none of my kids are going anywhere listening to anyone named Snoop Dogg. Faux snizzle, right? Amen. You know that's true. There's a wonderful statement at the end of verse 21 that bears repeating. Look at it again. It says, "Meat for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Beloved, Paul is talking about every good work. And doing so, he's obviously covering an awful lot of territory. Being a good mother is a good work, maybe the greatest of all. Being a good father, a good employee, a good citizen, a good Christian witness, a good neighbor, a good student of the Bible, a good church member. In all of these and many others, there are some people who are vessels unto honor. And there are others who are vessels unto dishonor. They name the name of Christ. But Paul says, if you name the name of Christ, then make sure the vessel shows what you name. And sometimes that means let him depart, as Paul says in the same sentence. Some dads are honorable fathers. And the reason is, to coin a phrase, they just have it in them. The right stuff is in there. And the reason why they have it in them is that they purge themselves from these, as the scripture says. There was a little video going viral recently. I've seen so many of them through the years. A big brawl with all these dads duking it out, fighting each other, even hitting the umpire at a little league football game. Well, that's a pretty good picture of the kind of vessel to avoid in life and to have your children avoid in life. Ignoble. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. It literally means if you walk with wise men, you'll be becoming wise like them. You ever wonder why that is? It's because wherever the vessel is, and whatever the vessel's around, it's raining out there. If I take it outside, it's going to hold rain. Wherever the vessel is, that's what it will eventually hold. I've said this to our young people before, and you young people can always hear it again. Take a very long, long, careful, and wise look at the crowd you want to hang around. Take a very long, careful look at the people you choose, and you do choose your friends, that you choose to be with. Take a careful look, because wherever they're headed, that's where you will go. Whatever they're going to become, that's what you'll become. I don't like my parents telling me I can't hang with these certain kids. Folks, Snoop Dogg tells his kids they can't even hang out on the hymn. How pathetic is that? Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. And here's two words that I think people miss. With them. You do it with them. This is the fellowship. You get around the people that also follow righteousness, faith, charity, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, folks, God wants to take your life, your character, as a vessel and use it. Use it in honorable ways to be a blessing so that everybody in this room, hear this, every single one of us in this room can be a vessel and an instrument in the hand of God. I don't know if you remember the old Dial soap commercials. And they used to have that little line that would say, you're not as clean as you think. Remember those? Lady came home from, would come home in her car, and she gets out and she starts walking up the sidewalk. And meanwhile, her dog, it shows, the camera shows her dog is upstairs and he's licking out of the toilet, drinking out of the toilet. And she comes in and he bounds down the stairs and they meet at the bottom, and the dog licks her face and her tongue and her lips. And it says, you're not as clean as you think. When Andy was in high school, he worked at a McDonald's in Abacoa, and he came home one night and he said, Dad, there's an employee there that is, he's crazy. He said, Dad, he takes the rag and he cleans the bathroom and he cleans the sink and he cleans the commodes and he cleans everything in the bathroom, and he walks right out and he takes the same rag and he cleans the tables in the thing. It's not as clean as you think, amen? Anybody here going to McDonald's after church? Not that one, sorry. That was 20 years ago. It's probably clean today. I remember Ben did a science experiment with lima beans. Everybody does it, right? You put lima beans in a clear glass and, you know, you have soil or construction paper in it and you watch it grow and you take pictures and so on. The problem is sometimes the beans don't sprout. And if that happens, they just rot and ferment and turn all kinds of colors of brown and green from the paste and the smell. And so we did the experiment, and that's exactly what happened. Days later, it was putrid, so I threw it all away, everything, of course, except for our clear glass, the glass I put in the sink with water in the sink, and I just put it in there, let it soak. And then that night, Andy walked in, and he put water in it, splashed it around, and poured it out, and started to pour milk in. I said, Andy, it's not as clean as you think, amen. That stinky tofu stuff is basically what it was. And you know, it was interesting because that glass had been, you know, washed and rewashed a few times, but I never could bring myself to use it. God wants to use you today. God wants you to be a vessel, but it has to be meet, M-E-E-T, prepared for the master's use as a father or a mother, employee, a neighbor, a friend, a soul winner, a student in your school, whoever you are this morning, you can be a vessel unto honor, set apart, sanctified, and meet for his use. The only question is, are you willing to purge yourself, he says, from these? Are you willing as a child of God to put yourself in proximity, in fellowship with other vessels of honor? He says, with them. See, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, you did it this morning. It wasn't that hard. You got out in the rain, got in your car, and you put yourself in a place where the vessel would be blessed. A group of men did it yesterday at men's prayer meeting. I was there. A group of teenagers did it yesterday at visitation. A bunch of ladies did it last night and listened to a young lady going to the mission field. A whole host of families in here do it every day with the love and fellowship of other honorable vessels. Beloved, life is short. I'm telling you that life is very, very short. And as a believer, you want your life to matter and to make a difference. And it does. It does every single day if it's a vessel of honor. God uses you. I remember there was a store up in North Carolina. A little country store had an employee named Gus. Gus was the laziest, most ineffective, uncaring employee ever, but I guess he was family or something, so they kept him there for years and years. One day, Gus finally quit. And a man came in and saw the old store owner, and he said, "Whoa, Gus was here for years. Who's going to fill the vacuum?" And the owner said, "Gus didn't leave no vacuum." You know, God's servants should always, always leave a vacuum. When I was a boy, my brothers and I played a lot of team sports, baseball and football. And you know, I remember the most important thing of all to me was not the position. Now, I wanted to play third base, and I wanted to play defensive back, and I did. But that wasn't the most important thing as a kid. The most important thing to me in sports was being a starter. Getting to play every inning or every quarter. And you know what? I realized, even as a kid, that if you always hung around guys at school or after school who didn't care at all about baseball or football, then before long, you're not even going to make the team. And if you always hung around guys who just wanted to make the team, just get the jersey so they could wear it on Friday of school, posers, you know, bench warmers, and that's what you will do. But if you wanted to be a starter, all you really had to do was hang around all of the starters, the guys who said, "Put me in, coach. I'm not here to warm a bench." Now, folks, sports is probably the most overrated activity on earth. It's not bad. It's just overrated. What's underrated is the starting lineup in the kingdom of God. And if you're wondering who the starters are, one of them is right here named Paul. The other one is this man, young man named Timothy. He's a red shirt freshman for sure, but he's a starter. And there's Moses and David and Daniel and John. Gus didn't leave no vacuum. But you know what? Jack McClain did. Bob and Chris Anderson did. John and Doreen did. Linda King did. Mrs. Phillips and the Fikes and the Fitzgeralds. Vessels of honor are prepared and meet for the master's use and used for every kind, the Bible says, of good work. And since it's true this morning that life is so short, you might as well go ahead and have the attitude and the desire, "Put me in, coach. Put me in. Use my life. Use this vessel for your honor and for your glory." And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not even a part of the team, you're not part of the great household, you can be starting today. Your verse would be verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That gospel, that good news is for you to be saved today. Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you again for your word. And I pray, Father, that as we hear it and then heed it, it will give you glory, that will make all of us in this room better parents, better spouses, better believers, better church members, better Christians who name the name of Christ for your kingdom. That it will cause all of us, Father, to recognize that we have to make choices that improve the vessel of honor. And may we do so by your help and with your grace. For these who have asked for salvation, prayer, Lord, draw them to you, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.